Second Peter follow as I read. I'm going to go back to verse 16. We looked at verses 16 to 19 last week, and this week we're going to be focusing on verses 20 and 21. But we'll begin at verse 16. Peter writing says, "We did not follow cunningly devised fables when we made known to you the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, but were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received from God the Father honor and glory when such a voice came to him from the excellent glory, 'This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.' And we heard this voice, which came from heaven when we were with him on the holy mountain. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit." If you have a good attorney, and maybe you watched Perry Mason years ago or something like that, you know that an attorney, when he goes to present his case, often relies on two very important things. One is eyewitnesses. Eyewitnesses are vitally important in the court. But also, secondly, there are authoritative, reliable documents that are presented to make a case. And in many ways, Peter is making a case for us here about the authority of the apostles as eyewitnesses. We looked at this last week. Peter says, "I was an eyewitness along with James and John, and we saw the majesty of Christ on the mountain of transfiguration. This is the Christ that we preach to you, and we were eyewitnesses of his glory." The gospel has come to us by eyewitnesses that were there, that saw firsthand Jesus Christ, who he was, and listened to him and witnessed his miracles, witnessed the resurrection, and they bear witness of the gospel. But also, Peter is going to go on and to say, we also have these reliable documents that have been given to us, these reliable documents that present to us in writing the word of God. And so we've already considered the eyewitnesses, and today we want to look at these scriptures that God has given to us. And Peter is writing these things and telling these believers in Asia Minor that this is vitally important for us. You need to take heed to these things that have been written down and this witness that we have given to you, because there are a lot of false teachers that have arisen. We're going to get to those next week in chapters 2 and chapters 3. They're saying things contrary to what the apostles had taught. They're saying things contrary to what the prophets of the Old Testament had written. And Peter is wanting to firm up for them this conviction that they have been given these eyewitnesses and they have the word of God. And so they must understand and be assured that it is trustworthy. So today we're going to see that Peter contends for the divine authority of Scripture, of the Bible. And this is vitally important for us to know as well, isn't it? If we're going to grow in grace as believers, we must be convinced and know that this is the word of God. He has spoken. And so we want to begin, first of all, by looking that Peter contends that a right view of Scripture is of first importance. Notice in verse 20, knowing this first, this is a matter, again, of first importance for you as believer. The word here is a word that means first in time or place or first of importance. It's the same word that is used in Matthew 6:33, a verse I think familiar to us, where Jesus is saying to his disciples, you are not to worry. Don't be anxious about what you're going to eat and what you're going to put on. And don't be worried about these earthly things. That's what the world is consumed with, the concerns of this world. That's of first importance to them. But you seek what? First, the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things, they will be added unto you. This is of first importance for you as believers, seeking first the kingdom of God, rather than being preoccupied with the things of this world. Now, Peter says here, of first importance for you in reference to what your authority is. Of first importance, you must know of where your authority lies. Yes, the eyewitnesses that he has mentioned, but now he is going to speak about the Bible, the scriptures, the Holy Scriptures. Where did the Bible come from? What is the origin of scripture? Peter says you need to settle this in your minds, and this must be of first importance to you, of the authority of scripture and understanding what it is and what its claim is. Before you are going to make progress as a Christian, before you're going to make progress in being rooted down in Jesus Christ and who he is, before you're going to be able to know the difference between truth and error, because that's what they're going to be contending with, these false teachers, you need to have this of first importance. And what he is saying here is that the scriptures are God's word. This is our authority. So secondly, Peter contends that the Old Testament scriptures originated with God and not with men. Knowing first, that no prophecy in scripture is of any private interpretation, for prophecy never came by the will of man, but holy men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. Peter said, as an eyewitness, we did not communicate to you things that were fables. They weren't myths, things that were handed down to us or things that we made up. We communicated things that we were eyewitnesses of. And now, speaking of the Old Testament scriptures, here, notice in verse 19, Peter says, we have the prophetic word. Verse 20, no prophecy of scripture. Verse 21, no prophecy. These are all a reference to the word of God. These are not myths. These are not of human origin. He recognized as he's writing to them that these things come to us from God himself. God has spoken. And so we see this even as we think of the word prophet or prophecy. What was a prophet? As you think of the Old Testament, and remember that Peter, as he's writing here of scripture, he's not talking about the New Testament. He's talking about what has been written in the past. There was the New Testament was in the process of being written, but he's looking back to the Old Testament, 39 books of the Old Testament, and he's referring to these as prophecy, as the scripture. What was the role of a prophet? Well, a prophet was one who spoke for God. He spoke the word of God to men. And I've often used the posture of a prophet being, he had his back to God and he had his face toward the people of Israel, and he spoke on behalf of God. He came from God with a message for the people. That's what a prophet did. And therefore, when we read in the Old Testament, it's clear there that when they spoke, they were speaking for God. We have terms like this: thus saith the Lord. We have that over 400 times in the Old Testament. Thus says the Lord, especially in the book of Exodus. Listen to Exodus 8:1. Then the Lord said to Moses, God spoke to Moses, gave him his word. He was a prophet. The Lord said to Moses, go to Pharaoh and tell him, thus says the Lord. So here's Moses coming from God with a message saying to Pharaoh, thus says the Lord, let my people go. We find that repeated often in the book of Exodus, repeated often in the Old Testament. We also see a little term, and the Lord said, and the Lord said. We find this in Hosea 1:1. When the Lord began to speak by Hosea, the Lord said to Hosea. All right, so here is Hosea receiving a word from the Lord that he is going to give to the people. We find that phrase, the Lord said, over 200 times as well. So that we have in Hebrews 1:1, the apostle writing and saying this, God who spoke in various ways in the old days to our fathers, it was God who spoke in the times past to our fathers. That's the way the apostles understood it. God spoke to the prophets. But in these last days, he's spoken to us in his Son. They understood that the Old Testament scriptures was God speaking to his people through those who were prophets. We have the word prophecy. And the word prophecy literally has the idea of to speak forth. So when a prophet spoke, when he gave a prophecy, and a prophecy wasn't always just foretelling the future, sometimes it was, but often it's just speaking forth, to tell forth the word of God. So the idea of a prophet and prophecy has this idea, this truth, that it is God speaking through these men that he has appointed, and they speak for him. So they, as they speak the word of God, it is indeed the word of God. But there's something more. These prophets not only spoke to the people, their words went out, they were heard, but the word of God was also recorded. It was written down. So we have here in verse 20 a reference to that no prophecy, notice, of Scripture. No prophecy of Scripture. So Peter has in mind that there are these writings that have been where God's word has been written down by these prophets, and it's called Scripture. The Greek word is the word graphē, which is, we think of the word graphite, a pencil, where you write things. Well, there are these writings. And the word Scripture is used 32 times in the New Testament, and it's a reference to things that have been written down in the Scripture by these prophets. We have 39 volumes. We have 39 books where they wrote down and recorded the word that God had given to them, and it's written down in sentences and words and paragraphs. It is written down. Peter lived in the city of Capernaum. He grew up there. My wife and I, back in, I think, 1999, we were able to be there. And we were able to see the remains of the synagogue that was there where, no doubt, Peter and Jesus and the other apostles had gone and worshiped there in the synagogue. And Peter knew, as he was growing up and as he would go to the synagogue, that in that synagogue there were stored there scrolls, writings. They didn't have Bibles like we do. We thank God that we have our own copy of the Scriptures. They didn't have that. But when they would go to the synagogue, they would bring out the scrolls, and they understood that these were the writings of the prophets, and this was God's word to his people, written down on scrolls, and read every Sabbath in the synagogue. So that we have 3,800 times in the Old Testament, there is a reference to the Word of God. This word that had been written down, a word that had come from God. Turn, if you will, to Acts chapter 1. We see both of these things brought together. Here in Acts 1 is after Jesus has ascended above, and he's told his disciples to wait, and the Spirit of God would come upon them. As they're waiting in this room, there is this decision that is being made by Peter. He's saying, listen, Judas has betrayed Jesus. He's hung himself. And he goes back to the Old Testament scriptures and says that the scriptures say that he needs to be replaced. We need to fill that office. And he brings forth two Old Testament passages in reference to this, Psalm 109, Psalm 69. But what I want us to notice in verse 16 is what Peter says here. He says this, men and brethren, this scripture had to be fulfilled. That's another term we find often in the New Testament. The scriptures had to be fulfilled. So here's writings, Peter says, scripture that had to be fulfilled. Well, where did this scripture come from? Well, the Holy Spirit spoke before by the mouth of David concerning Judas. Notice those two things. We have scripture written down, and where did it come from? Well, it came from David, who spoke how? By the Holy Spirit. This is what Peter is going to be driving home here as we look at this passage as well. David spoke, God spoke through the Holy Spirit, spoke through David, and it is in the scripture. And so Peter is convinced that this word is not the word of men, but it is the very word of God, and it has been written down. And so Peter contends that these prophets, they spoke for God, but they also wrote down in scriptures the very word of God. It wasn't their word. And so we see here, Peter makes this point now. Verse 20, no prophecy of scripture is of any private interpretation. It's not of any private interpretation. This is a difficult phrase, and commentators differ on how we're to understand this. It's interesting that the Catholic Church uses this verse as a proof text that the church is the authority to interpret scripture. Therefore, the common people of the pew, they're not to read their Bibles and try to understand it themselves. They need to be taught by, you know, archbishops or priests or the Pope. They will tell you what the Bible means. And for centuries, they would keep the written word of God away from the people because the people weren't to understand it. They weren't to have their own copies. And when people like Wycliffe and others were translating it into the common language, they were upset about this. I remember Arlene, she was a member of our church years ago early, when I first came, and she was raised in Catholicism, and she went to Christian or Catholic schools all her life, and she says, I was never encouraged to read the Bible for myself, to read it. I was always just being told what to believe, but I was never encouraged to read it. This is not what this is saying, that we're not to read the Word of God and seek to understand it. Some understand this to be the analogy of faith, which was a principle of hermeneutics, or trying to understand the scripture, that the scripture interprets scripture. And so you don't just go to one text and camp on that and make a case. You have to see it in light of other scriptures. Some understand it in that way. But I think what Peter is getting at is that this is saying that the scripture, these prophecies are not of any private origin. The word interpret that is in the New King James Bible here is a word that means loosing, to loose something. And I think what Peter is getting at is that there is the loosing, not of the meaning of a text, but it's the loosing of the prophecy itself. Where did it come from? It was not of the prophet's own loosing of the message. It came from God. So we could, I think, rightly interpret it or understand it in this way, that the prophecy of Scripture did not come by any private loosing or any private origin. This is the view that John MacArthur takes in his study Bible. He says this idea of loose to loose. He says, as if to say no scripture is the result of any human being privately untying or loosing the truth. Peter's point is not so much about how to interpret scripture, but rather how scripture originated and what its source was. The false prophets untied and loosed their own ideas. But no part of God's revelation was unveiled or revealed from a human source or out of the prophet's unaided understanding. And I think that this interpretation is going to be now clarified in verse 21. I think that's what Peter's getting at, because he's going to go on and explain this and amplify this in verse 21. There he says this: for prophecy never came by the will of man. When these prophets spoke, this wasn't their story. This is not their message. That's what Peter said. We didn't give to you cunningly devised fables. We spoke what we saw, and the prophets gave what God had given to them. It wasn't their own message being spoken by them. They were not the source of this message. And he uses a strong adversative here, but. So it wasn't by the will of man, but here's where these scriptures came from. Holy men of God spoke how? As they were moved by the Holy Spirit. In contrast to bringing their own words into the writings, they spoke rather as they were being moved by the Holy Spirit. This word moved, I mentioned this last Sunday night, is a word, if many of you remember our brother Dick Sauer, he used this word, which means to be carried along. He used the illustration where this word is used with John the Baptist. You remember John the Baptist, his head was cut off. They put it on a platter, and it was carried into the presence of Herod as he had asked Herodias what she wanted, and she wanted John the Baptist's head. Well, they carried it in on a platter. They carried it in. They bore it on this platter. It's the same word. It's this idea of being moved to be carried along. You might think of the wind in a sail, on a sailboat. The wind bears it along, carries the sailboat along. It's the wind that is directing it. And Peter says that's what we have with these scriptures that God has given to us. The Holy Spirit has breathed into these prophets the very word that they have written down for us. I want you to turn to another passage, 2 Timothy chapter 3. This is another key text as we think about where does the Bible come from? What is the origin of the message? Does it come from men? Is it just a collection of writings of men? That's what many people believe. These are just books and things that men have written. They contradict one another. You can't trust them. That's not the testimony of Scripture. Testimony that it bears of itself is that holy men spake as they were moved by the Holy Spirit. And now Paul weighs in on this as well. And he says to Paul says to Timothy, as he writes to him, from a little boy, you have known the Holy Scriptures. You were taught these things by your mother, by your grandmother, when you went to synagogue, when you would hear the word of God read. You heard the word of God from childhood. Verse 15, you have known, here it is, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. And notice verse 16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete and thoroughly equipped for every good work. The word here, the word inspiration, is really the word to breathe out. These men, as they wrote the scriptures, this is the word of God that is breathed out by God. And what they wrote down in these scriptures, he said, is the very breath of God. It is God who is speaking to us through his word. And so there is this understanding by Peter and by Paul, by the apostles, that this indeed is the very word of God. And if it is the word of God, then it is without error. Let me read from Kevin DeYoung. He said, if it is God's word, then it must all be true. For in him, in God, there can be no error or deceit. So it is God's word, and it is given to us, and it is without error. So Peter is talking about the Old Testament scriptures, but I want us to see that Peter understood that there was something that was going on, even in his own day, where God's revelation now is being recorded anew by apostles. There is more revelation that is being given by God through, not the prophets of the Old Testament, now through the apostles. Paul begins this second epistle saying that he is an apostle. An apostle is one who Christ himself set apart to speak for him, to be his representative, to speak the word of Christ. And that's what we have as we think of the New Testament. And Peter understands that. He is an eyewitness to these things that have happened. Notice in chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Notice what Peter suggests to us. Beloved, I now write to you this second epistle, in both of which I stir you your pure minds by way of reminder, that you may be mindful of the words which were spoken before, notice, by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. So Peter is seeing that as they are writing and as they are ministering as apostles, that it is on par with these Old Testament scriptures. They spoke and wrote, and Peter says, we as well, we give commandment, we as apostles of the Lord and Savior. And notice at the end of the book, chapter 3, where Peter speaks of Paul's writings, and he equates them with being the same as the Old Testament writings, that they are scriptures. We read in verse 15, consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you, as also in all his epistles, all right, he's written epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to understand, I love that, which untaught and unstable people twist to their own destruction, and notice this, as they do also the rest of the scriptures. What Paul wrote in his epistle, men are distorting and twisting, just as they do the rest of scriptures. Peter understood Paul's writings to be the word of God, to be scripture. And so just as the Holy Spirit led the prophets of old, so the Holy Spirit has led these apostles. And Jesus said that in his upper room discourse. I'm going back to the Father. It's good that I'm going back. And when I go back, I'm going to send the Spirit. And the Spirit is going to come, and he's going to bring to your remembrance the things that I've spoken to you. I don't think the apostles, as they were with Jesus, the 12, were writing everything down on a piece of paper. They're going to forget these things. But when the Spirit comes, he's going to remind you of these things that I have taught you. He's going to bring them to your remembrance, all that I have said, and he will glorify me, and he will declare unto you the things that I have said. So the same Spirit that led the prophets is the same Spirit that is going to enable the apostles as well to speak for Christ and to make known his word. And Paul writes to the Thessalonians in 1 Thessalonians 2:13. He says this, I continually thank God that when you receive from us the word of God, you received it for what it is, not the word of men, but you received it as the word of God. You've received our word, not as our word, but as the very word of God. Jesus said, my sheep will hear my voice and they will follow me. And we can go on to say that I think it would be just as true to say that my sheep hear the voice of my duly appointed representatives, my apostles, and what they have written in the scriptures. I was listening to a message by Vodi Bakum. I would encourage you to read it or listen to it. It's entitled Why You Can Believe the Bible. It's in Sermon Audio. You can go there and Google that. But he said this, as we think of the witness of the apostles, as we think about the New Testament that we have, he said this, the New Testament is a reliable collection of historical documents written by eyewitnesses during the lifetime, and that of other eyewitnesses. They report supernatural events that took place in fulfillment of specific prophecies, and they claim that their writings are divine rather than human in origin. And so Peter says that this word, the scriptures, that we have is the very word of God. That is what is our truth rests upon, what God has revealed in his word. And then lastly this morning, Peter contends for the centrality of Christ in all of Scripture. What were the prophets writing about? What were the apostles writing about? They're writing about Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is central to both the Old Testament and the New Testament. They dovetail together perfectly. He is the central figure. Peter understood that. Jesus himself said, when you think about the scriptures, you think that in them that you have eternal life. But these speak of me. Jesus says, these scriptures, they speak of me. This is revealing to us the person and the work of Jesus Christ. When Jesus was with the two men on the road to Emmaus, as he walked with them, it says that beginning with Moses and the prophets, he expounded to them in all the scripture the things concerning himself. This is a book given by God. It's a book about his son, Jesus Christ. And therefore, Peter says in verse 19, we have the prophetic word confirmed, would you do well to heed as a light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star arises in your heart. It speaks of Christ. It is a light. It shows us the way to life, the way of salvation that is found in Jesus Christ. Peter says, heed the message. Heed the message of this word that is a light in the midst of a very dark, fallen world. And may we do so. May we come to the scriptures and say, Lord, teach me of Christ. Let me hear your voice. When we come to the Bible to read it, we ought to come with that attitude. Lord, let me hear your voice, that you speak to me today through your word that you have given. May God give us such a heart as that. If you're here without Christ, we point you to this, the most important figure of history and the central figure of the scriptures. It is Jesus Christ, the Savior, the friend of sinners. Come to him. Jesus says, come unto me, all who are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. I will give you eternal life. I will give you forgiveness of sins. It is found in him. And it is him that we remember today, this one that Peter bore witness of. He saw his glory. We remember him as we come to the Lord's table. Let's pray as we conclude and as we prepare.